I got my start. Pastor talked in Sunday school about that guy that got shot, you know, and he leaked out and he said, "You missed me." Yeah. Talking about all those little seeds. Well, the first shot that I actually got came from a man out of Brother Haynes' church. About, wow, I'm going to give up my age. It's a long time ago. Amen. I was a 16-year-old boy working on a farm. That man's name was Kenny Bell. Kenny Bell's the first man that ever witnessed to me. And he even led me in the sinner's prayer. But, you know, just praying a prayer will not save you. Amen. I prayed that prayer that day, and I was just as lost when I walked out of that barn as I was when I walked in. In fact, probably more lost. It took another 8 years of me falling deeper into sin and following after the paths of sin, amen, and chasing after that all that wickedness that, till I finally figured out what I was, as the pastor mentioned, amen. When you come face to face with God and it's you and God, you figure out real fast that you don't measure up. Amen. And when I finally admitted what I was, vile, ungodly, amen, and that everything that had gone wrong was my fault, amen, God saved me when I asked him to. Amen. And boy, what a difference. Amen. I told the Lord the night I got saved, be careful how you talk to God, he hears you. Amen. I told the Lord the night I got saved, I will go anywhere you want me to go. I will do anything you want me to do. I will say anything you want me to say, but please save me. And God took me at my word. That very prayer has taken me around the world, preaching the gospel. It was in Zhytomyr, Ukraine, that I first met Brother Pete Mucher in the year 2000. I was in Ukraine and when 9/11 happened. And I was there and had seen him again, amen. Man, what a thing. Well, what a thing that God would take a hillbilly. Amen. I am a hillbilly. Amen. I'm not an uneducated hillbilly. Amen. I do have an education, but hillbilly still comes out when it's in there. Amen. That's just the way it is. But, man, the Lord took this hillbilly from the mountains of just south of here. Amen. In Pennsylvania. Around the world. We now have churches in several countries. We have 11 churches in various parts of the world. I forget how many Bible institutes, amen. But the Lord has blessed. Our latest endeavor, as I've gotten older and health has kind of caught up with me a little bit, I've had to slow down some things. And the Lord's kind of kept me closer to the United States. We still travel coast to coast every year. But the Lord just last fall opened up a door for me to start a Bible institute, restart actually a Bible institute. A dear friend of mine, in fact, he was the longest preacher friend that I knew other than my first pastor. I met him when I was stationed in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he was pastor there for 26 years. And he wasn't a pastor when I met him. But he pastored that church for 26 years and passed away suddenly. And the church asked me if I would come back and start a Bible institute in the very church where God called me to preach. And we did that last fall, and my. If you'll just put your hand to something for God, for His sake, amen, try to honor Him and be a blessing to Him, it's amazing what God will do. We had 30 students this first year. We had one man move from Washington State, and he is just eating it up. And they are some of the hungriest people that I've ever met in the United States of America. And they are taking the teaching. Amen. They are taking the preaching. My teaching gets preachy and my preaching gets teachy. It just kind of mixes. Amen. But they're taking it all. Amen. They're even putting up with me. But man, to watch them go, I just got to give you a little report. We got one fellow who's 55 years old. And he'd kind of been... People just looked at him and said, "Oh, yeah, that's brothers." And I'm not going to mention his name because Dale might put this on the internet. Amen. "Yeah, that's old brother so-and-so." And I said, but man, the guy has a heart as big as anybody you'd ever meet. And so I started teaching and we taught a couple classes. We taught some things. Then the next semester, the Lord laid on my heart really to somehow work in a preacher's class. So I did. And there's 12 men in the preacher's class. There's some teenage boys in the preacher's class, amen. And the oldest teenage boy, I think, is 16, maybe just 17 now. And the youngest is 13. And man, I'm telling you, they are getting it. But in that class is this 55-year-old man. Couple 40-year-old guys. And came time to put a message together. And he had an accident, you know, in his head. He got a plate in his head. And, you know, it's always been this thing. And people just, well, that's old brother so-and-so. Some things happen, and you know, they kind of wonder, does it all work right? You know, he might forget your name when he's looking at your face. And I said, brother, don't worry about that, man. I do that too. Amen. The only way I know my own name is I've had it so long. And so we did the preacher's class, got him setting up outlines. It started, I told him, I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home. Now, when you're reading your Bible, keep a log, keep a journal right beside you. And when God speaks to your heart out of that book, write it down. Just those little thoughts you get, write them down. And then what I want you to do is I want you to put them together in a message. And I said, I'll be back next week. I've been going out and preaching some, you know, because I like to eat. Amen. And they that preach the gospel must live with the gospel. So, amen. So I go out and I come back and they forgot their notebooks. They forgot their journals. And I told him, I said, now you're going to take those things and you're going to preach a 5-minute message. Well, you know, we forgot them. One guy had his. I said, okay. I picked out a man. I said, young man. I said, you come on up here. You preach in 5 minutes. I said, hit it. So then the rest of them, they kind of got on board and knew what was happening. So the rest of the guys had a little bit of an insight in it. But they all got up and did 5-minute messages. And they did fantastic. So I said, now, I gave you a little grace. You forgot your book. Okay, now I want you to go home. And for the next week, now you got 2 weeks. You got last week's and you got this week's. When you get back next week in class, we're going to preach 15-minute messages. Man, they're all trembling in their boots. 15 minutes. This brother got up and for 8.5 minutes said more in 8.5 minutes than I've heard guys in the ministry 40 years do in 45 minutes. And he read it right off the page that he wrote it down on. He wrote his illustrations out. He read them. And he read it off the paper. And young men were weeping over what the man had to say. And we got done. He's sitting back in the back row. And he's looking up. I said, brother, I said, that was fantastic. God was all over that. He looked at me and he said, I wish my brother, his brother was the pastor. He said, who passed away. He said, I wish my brother could have heard. I said, oh, he did. That little breeze you felt, that was him shouting in glory. Amen. God has blessed everything we've ever put our hand to. And there's no regrets here this morning. Amen. None. Absolutely none. Take your Bible and go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to preach this morning where I live. Amen. I find that if I'm living there, somebody else must be too. Because we're all a part of this thing called humanity. Amen. And man, there's such a battle these days. I was talking with Brother Mucher before the service about how we're seeing things now that I never dreamed, Pastor Hank, we'd ever see. I mean, in my own home church, I mean, it blew me away. It so rocked my foundation after something that happened in my home church. I was on my way back to Vegas to teach, and I was going to teach Bible that night in the Institute. And I went to put the pen to the paper, and I could not write. All my hand would do is just jiggle. I could not write. And I, what in the world? I called my wife. I said, I don't know what's going on. I can't even write. I've got to teach tonight. I can't even write what I want to say. It's up here, but I can't put it on the paper. And I stopped for a moment after I hung up from her, and I realized what was happening. My nervous system was shot. My entire body, I couldn't really control it. It scared me. I thought, man, I'm having a stroke. But I started, you know, going through all the signs. I could still talk pretty clear, you know, and I did all the, you know, everything still moves. Everything works. It's not a stroke. And it hit me what was going on, man. I was about to have a nervous breakdown. Because of what happened in my home church. After 30 years as a member, I never dreamed I'd see what I saw. In fact, one of the men that was there texted me and he said, Brother Cliff, if you had not been there,
Would you believe what you saw? I said, no. I saw it and I still don't believe it.
I'm telling you, folks, we're in a day, amen, where men, supposedly good men, are throwing everything to the wind.
Yes, sir.
And what a mess we're in.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. And man, to stand up and try to be holy and try to proclaim your holiness, you'd be a fool.
That's right.
Amen. It didn't take me very long to figure out after I got saved that I wasn't very holy. In fact, I figured out real quick reading my Bible that the only holiness I really got is His.
Yeah.
Anything good in me is Him. And man, without Him, I am nothing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Absolute zero. But thanks be to God, amen. As Brother Mucker, I believe, said, what God will do with you, amen, if you'll just let Him. Romans chapter 8, let's read the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now flip over a page or so, and let's catch verse 839. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That thing starts with no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and ends with no separation from the love of God. Man, what a deal we got in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you so much for your grace and mercy, God, and the privilege it is to be here. And God, we come expecting great things from you, for you're a great God. This week, Lord, we're looking to see what you'll do in our hearts and in the hearts of all these young people that'll be coming, Father. Please, meet with us. God, exalt yourself, glorify yourself, whatever you got to do, Lord. And Lord, put us in the place we belong in. And Lord, help us to come away different this week. But Lord, even now in this message, I pray God, the sweet Spirit of God, will take this vessel, the best I know how, I give it unto you. And I ask you, Father, to take it and use it, fill it, pour it out as you see fit. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I chose the first and the last verse because I'm going to spend a lot of time in the text. And the whole text. But the point I'm trying to make is this. There's a battle going on, and it's right at home. There's a battle going on, it's right at home. If you read through the book of Romans and study it a little bit, Romans is laid out in the natural progression of a person's life. They're born a sinner, amen. The first three chapters, man's a sinner. You got the sin of the Jew, the sin of the Gentile, the sin of everybody in the first three chapters. Then you get to Romans 4, and you've got justification by faith. Abraham, amen, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. There's salvation. Then you've got chapter 5, and chapter 5 is the security of the saint. Amen? And it is a... Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and it ends again with eternal life, security. Then Romans 6, the first thing that happens when you get eternal life from God, the first thing naturally that happens is there needs to be a sanctification. You get Romans 6. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead unto sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Christ, were baptized unto His death? Amen. There needs to be a sanctification there of that individual back to God. And then when that happens, the next thing that starts in Romans 6, 7, and 8, one thing I noticed in studying for this, this whole context in Romans 8 starts in Romans 6. But you get to Romans 7, and there Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am."
Yeah.
Boy, it'd do good this morning if we could see ourselves as wretched.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, but I'm saved, man. I'm sanctified. Yeah, but right after sanctification, Paul said, "I'm wretched." Amen. It'd do a lot of churches good if preachers this morning would see themselves as wretched. Amen. What a wretch we are without God. And then he said, for that I would, I do not. But that I would not, it is that I do. And then he says, it is no more I that serve sin, but I find that a law warring in my members, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And that evil, my friend, is not the devil. He gets blamed for a lot. But it is not the devil, as we'll see when we get to Romans 8. Romans 8 speaks of the Spirit-filled life. And without the Spirit-filled life, you cannot effectively serve God. So many today are trying to do it in the flesh. Oh, they've got it down, man.
I'm a King James Bible believer.
Are you a King James Bible practicer? Amen. You got the Spirit-filled life. Then Romans chapter 9 through 11 is parenthetical. It's to Israel. Then you get to Romans 12. We're back into the natural progression. And this is the sacrifice of the saint. Amen. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Yeah. Holy. That word Baptists hate. Amen. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The sacrifice. Listen, the plate goes by and people are thinking they're sacrificing. Man, I put a dollar in.
That's right.
No, the real sacrifice God's looking for is you.
Yes.
Amen.
He wants your heart. My son, give me thine heart. He wants your heart. If he gets your heart, he'll have your wallet. Amen.
That's right.
And everything you own. Because you'll realize it's not yours, it's all his. Amen. So then you got that. And then you get to Romans 13 and you've got the service of the Christian. And the 13, 14, and 15 deal with service. And then Romans 16 deals with a salutation to the soldier. So what do you got? A natural progression. You know what happens in our Baptist churches, Pastor Hank? And amen. It happened to me when I first got saved. Save them, dip them, serve them.
Yeah.
Never have a time where they get to know God.
Yeah.
Lord willing, I'm going to preach, amen, part of a series, at least one message this week on knowing God.
Yes, sir.
Good.
Because what I find is there's a bunch of people, even in our Baptist churches, but man, they can rightly divide that thing. They can fillet it so many ways. They can even tell you how many toes the Antichrist has on his left foot and what color he's painted them. Amen. But they don't know the God of the Bible.
That's right.
Hey, listen, Paul, after 21 years, said that I may know him. And he'd been saved 21 years. Man, he had to learn some things about God.
Right.
Amen, even to serve him. And 21 years later, he's still learning and said, man, I still don't know nothing.
Right.
Amen. But right in the middle of all of that comes Romans 8. Mm-hmm. And man, I started looking at this thing. Man, there's so much here. But some folks say when you get saved, your problems disappear. Boy, is that ever a misconception. You know, I told you I'm gonna preach where I live. I'm living right where I'm preaching this morning. Listen, that woman has followed me over hill and dale, amen, from coast to coast and around the globe. She has heard me preach more than, the only person who heard me preach more than her is God himself. And she'll tell you, I preach most of the time where I'm living. Because I'm trying to help me, and I am such a wretch.
Yes.
Every old wretched man that I am.
Yes.
Now notice, if you read down through Romans 7, there's two eyes there. There's the old man and the new man. Old wretched man that I am. Now wait a minute, there's one part of me, and if you're saved here this morning, there's one part of you that will never sin again.
Amen.
Amen. It has been cut free, amen, by the sword of the Spirit, Hebrews 4:12. Amen. By the circumcision made without hands. Amen. In the cutting away of the body of the sins of the flesh. Amen. That part of you will never sin. But I got news for you. That ain't this part. And this part's not saved yet. It's not sanctified yet. It's not been put away yet. Amen.
That man, yeah, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah, man, I'm crucified with Christ. Next time you cut yourself shaving, tell yourself that. Amen. I told you, I'm going to preach where I live.
Amen.
So I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you. Amen. Salvation enters us into the battle of the ages. Good versus evil. God versus Satan. But the one most folks miss is spirit versus flesh. Man, I'm telling you, the longer I'm in this body, the more I not only long to go home, but I long to be like my Savior wants me to be. And man, I've been dealing with something. After 35 years, some of this stuff starts creeping back up again. And you start dealing with it again, and it's not as easy to get rid of now. It's not as easy to just, ah, praise God, plead the blood, I got the victory. I'm noticing, preacher, that it gets more difficult.
Yeah, that's right.
I asked Brother Don Green one time. He was the holiest man I ever knew. And I asked him, I said, Brother Green, surely, you know, you're born in this Christian family. I mean, your grandfather was a Baptist preacher. Your father's a Baptist preacher. You're a Baptist preacher. Your sons are Baptist preachers. Your daughter's married to a Baptist preacher. Your grandsons are Baptist preachers. Now you got great-grandsons, Baptist preachers. Surely with all that heritage, man, and all that Christian living, man, this thing's got to get easier. He looked at me kind of puzzled. Brother Cliff, what are you talking about? I said, man, I'm thinking, preacher, it's like riding a bicycle. You get a handle on it, you know. Once you get a handle on it, man, you can just, you control that thing. And I said, surely this battle of the flesh, isn't it kind of like that? I'm looking for some kind of hope. Here's what he did. Brother Cliff, you just don't understand something. The flesh is wicked! I said, then I guess there's no hope, huh? He said, you're going to fight it till you die.
That's right.
Said, oh, me. Some folks say, man, you get filled with the Spirit and there's no more battle with sin. You have arrived. What a fool. What a fool. Sinless perfection. Romans 7 shoots that right out of the water. Sinks it. Makes it plain, man, the battle's just begun. But thanks be to God, there is a victory. And that's what I want to eventually bring us to this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning losing the battle. I've been there. Like I said, I preach it where I'm living. Amen. It ain't always roses. You know, the evangelist blows in and he preaches a lot of what the preacher's just been preaching. Everybody says, man, what a good message. The preacher preached it and they go. Why? Because they live with him. They get accustomed to his voice. They know exactly when he's going to inflect some. They know exactly when, amen, he's going to shout amen. They know exactly when, in Brother John's case, when he's going to imitate Sammy Allen and go. Why? They get used to him. And all God does with an evangelist is re-preach the same message just in a different way with a few changes around their words. And everybody says, wow. First of all, realize if that battle is your battle this morning, you're in good company. If the Apostle Paul had to fight it, amen, then who do you think we are? None of us has written 13 books of the New Testament. Amen? Notice with me, number one, the flesh cannot be subject to God. Too many people are trying to force it in. Say, preacher, prove that. Okay, I will. Thank you. Turn to Romans 7, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. And I'm looking for the verse. I thought it was right there in verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Where did it go? Let's go to Romans. Flip over Romans 8. There it is. Romans 8, verse 9.
Yeah.
I had the wrong chapter.
Yeah.
I got to change that in my notes.
Amen.
I've preached this three times. Never preached it the same twice. Amen. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh, what's that next word? Cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, we're going to get on to Romans 8:16 a little bit. This preacher already quoted. Well, what is it? If the Spirit of God isn't in you, you're not his. And if you're not in the Spirit of God, you're not his. You don't belong to him. Amen. Read on. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, back up to verse 7. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So in other words, if what you're operating with is that carnal mind all the time, guess what? It don't make it.
Right.
It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. This thing is not subject. You can't make it. Say, oh, but I carry it to church. I make it read my Bible. Really? The greatest battle on earth. Reading that Bible. And you start reading it. Boy, your mind says, I got to go mow the grass.
Yeah.
Subject, is it? Oh man, I got this. Oh, and I remember this song all of a sudden from days gone by.
Oh.
Subject, is it? Something has to be done. You cannot force this flesh. Oh, but I forced myself. I've heard it preached. You cannot cajole it. You cannot twist it. You can't beat it enough. Amen. What do you got to do? There's only one thing. Jesus Christ gave us the perfect picture. When he died on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What did he do? He crucified himself. He crucified himself. Or he was crucified, excuse me. In Romans 8 and verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. How did he do that? He died. And beloved, if you and I are going to do anything with this thing, it has to die. Now, don't take me literally in this respect. Don't go out and shoot yourself. That's not what it's talking about. My father-in-law heard me preach and heard me say a few things along the way. Early on in my Christian walk, before he passed away, he's become a masochist, man. He's trying to kill himself or something. I said, no, you got it all wrong. Listen, I'm ready to die any moment. In fact, I've even said a couple times, Lord, if you can take me. I'm tired of this, man. You ever been there? But listen, I am not ready to go on the next boat unless God says this is the boat. Jim Elliot, the missionary that was martyred by the Auk Indians down in South America. I heard some testimony from his father. And his father and another man are standing in the church aisle after service. And they're talking about Jim, and he had just been, killed by the cannibals and all. And the man said to Jim's father, he said, oh, it's just such a shame that Jim had to lose his life in such a way. And Jim Elliott's father spoke up and he said, No, you got it all wrong. Jim did not die in South America. He pointed at the altar and he said, Jim died right there. Jim died right there. Jim was alive, and he's alive evermore because he died right there. Condemned sin in the flesh. How did he condemn it? He killed it. Amen. It was crucified. Amen. That's where Paul now can say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it's death, but it's life. It's a great paradox. We've got to die to this thing. But then we can live under the Spirit of God. And that eternal soul can be free. Amen. To live for God. He crucified. Galatians 5:24 says this. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. We can't blame it even on being in the flesh. How many times say, well, he got in the flesh. Well, it said, you're not in the flesh. If you belong to him, you're not in the flesh. Amen. You're already in the Spirit. But the problem is we walk after the flesh. That's where we get in trouble. The flesh says, here's a carrot. Here's a sugar cube. Here's a Starbucks. Oh my God. Amen. Walking after it. Why would you want to walk after something that's dead? This is the time of the year, man. I mean, you drive around the countryside. Imagine the beautiful aromas of the flowers and some of the trees when they came in bloom. And man, you're smelling all that with the windows down. And all of a sudden, you go by a dead coon on the side of the road or a dead deer. It's like, oh, wow, quick, roll the windows up. Aren't you glad for electric windows? You. Amen. That's what death smells like. Yet here we are, amen, as saved people, supposed to be. Romans 6 said, likewise, reckon yourselves indeed dead unto sin. We're supposed to be dead to this thing. But yet, like Brother Earl said one time, Brother Earl Hughes was talking to Brother Mike Keenan. They were down in Houston. He said, Brother Mike, he said, are you afraid to die? Brother Mike thought, man, this is Earl Hughes. You know, he's just being spiritual. He's like, no, man, I'm ready to go. I'm ready, man. Take me now. Shame, my dear brother, shame. He said, why is that? He said, well, I was out on one of them high rises today downtown where they're working, welding that steel. He said, I don't know, it was about 12 floors in the air. He said, I walked out there and looked down and said, I realized something real fast. I ain't ready to die. Amen. The perspective is, are you ready to die to this thing? Amen. Are you ready to say no to this thing? Why? That you might have the victory. So if we can't submit the flesh to God, who are we going to submit to? There's only one. Amen. There's only one. Look at Romans 8 verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The spirit is life because of righteousness. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. I'm sorry. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Amen. It's not walking in the flesh, it's walking after the flesh. Amen. What did he say? He said, what? The spirit, amen, that raised up Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How can you come to church and enjoy it? Through the Spirit, amen, that raised up Jesus. If that same Spirit's in you, man, he's going to raise you up. There's going to be some times, amen, where you're going to battle. I mean, it's going to be mean. It's going to get rough. I've been fighting, woman. I've been praying. I mean, it's been rough at times. And I've been praying. I said, God, please, you got to help me. So you know what happened? Everything breaks now. I prayed. Everything breaks now. Why is that? You're really going to get put to the test. Amen. I'm looking in there somewhere is grace. Amen. Notice verse 18. This is in the context of battling with that flesh. the flesh and the spirit. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Is it a suffering to you when you blow it? We've come to the age, Brother Dale, where it no longer bothers us when something bothers us. It no longer bothers us when the Spirit of God bothers us. We just kind of busy, gotta go. For what? You know, it's called in Romans 6, verse 19, it's called the infirmity of your flesh. He's not saying in there that your flesh is sick. He's saying your flesh is an infirmity. Your flesh is a sickness. And man, does that sickness bother you? Man, I've got a couple with this age. Man, breathing is not easy for me sometimes. I got some heart issues and they seem to work together. You know, when the heart goes crazy, so does the breathing. And what an infirmity, man. I cannot do the things I used to do. I have reached the age where I do not mind saying, young man, would you mind bending down and picking that up for me? Because if I get down there, I'm liable to go, and that'd be it. Although if I do get down there, I look around and see what else I can do while I'm down there. Amen. I don't want to make another trip. It's called suffering in verse 18. It's called the infirmity of your flesh in Romans 6, 19. But look at verse 19. We're closer to being done than you think. Somebody says, praise God. Right? For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's this thing, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who was subjected to the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. Man, I'm telling you, this thing creates travail in pain together until now. Listen, does it pain you when you fail? Does it grieve you when you fail God? Man, I'm telling some folks, folks, professing Christians, man, can just blatantly do something sinful and not say, not get that little twinge in there and just get grief down in their soul. I wonder what they've got.
Yes, sir.
Because I know what's going on in me. I told you, I'm preaching where I'm living. I am waiting for the day, amen, when this body shall be redeemed. All too often, amen, and that's where a lot of the heresies come from. Read Galatians 5, heresy is a work of the flesh.
Yep.
Amen, and what happens? Oh, you know, I'm going to lose my salvation. No, you're not.
That's right.
Oh, I lost it. No, you didn't. And you talk to those folks that believe that, they never lost theirs, somebody else did.
Yeah, right.
Amen. What is it? Hey, listen, there's coming a day, amen, when this thing is going to be changed and it's finally going to be gone and it's no longer going to hinder you from serving God. There's the hope, amen. It's called the blessed hope. That's why it says the grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that great, glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath redeemed us from all iniquity, that he came to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. How do you get zealous, man? Crucify. Now, preacher, you tell me to crucify myself? Nope. Try it sometime. Don't take me literal. But think about it with me. Crucifixion. There's three points that have to be nailed, right? Okay, take the hammer, take the nail. Cross your legs. Okay, bang, 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 bang. There's one. Okay, now take a nail. I got a hammer, it's got a little magnet on it. You can stick a nail on there and go boom, and then drive it. Okay, there's two.
For a right-handed man, what are you going to do with this one? Ain't going to work. Somewhere along the line, there has to be submission to God.
That's right.
Somewhere along the line, there has to be a giving up of the will.
Yes, sir.
A giving up of the desire. A giving up of all those dead things that we cherish so in the flesh. To say, God, help. I can't do it, Lord, without you. And a daily consecration. A daily commitment to those things. See, man, I failed today. I got up this morning and I committed all those things to God. And look what happened to me today. I'm so ready to go home. God, wouldn't you just take me home now? I'm tired of this fight. He says this. Help me, Lord. I just lost it. Had the verse in my head. We are not of them which draw back, thank you, Lord, unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, if there's an eternal God in your bosom this morning, you cannot go back. Oh, you may try. You may let the flesh have a little nosebleed, but eventually that ring's going to pop out.
Yes,
and you're going to figure out real quick that you belong to God. And you cannot live after the flesh as the flesh would have you do. And you realize that the only true life is in Jesus Christ. We are in Him. Amen. And He is in us. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Beloved, if we could just walk in that, amen, and realize that daily, man, how much different can it be for us? Look at our help, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Remember, the infirmities of flesh, Romans 6, 19. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Notice with me, the Spirit's making groanings. Up in verse 22, we're doing the groaning.
Right.
Have you ever gone to God and just groaned and said, oh God, help! This flesh has got me. God, do something. Help! I'm tired of losing. I want the victory on this one. Amen. You know how it is? Dr. Estep, who was my pastor for years, said it this way. It's like going to the little carnival, and you got that little box with all the little things that pop up, and hit them with a hammer. He said, that's like battling the flesh. You knock that one down, it pops up over here. You knock that one down, it pops up down here. It's always going to be there. But you don't have to give in to it. I don't have to give in to it. Amen. We can submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil and resist the flesh. Amen. Notice, verse 27, he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Are you battling here this morning? There's only one place to get an answer. It's not in getting up and trying to beat it up. It ain't going to work. There's one place to get an answer. It's getting on our knees, amen, going to God in prayer, however, amen. But going to God in prayer, submitting it to God, and asking God for the tools, asking God for the grace, asking God for the victory. Why? Because He's the one that knows how to give it to us. Our way don't work. My way of beating this thing didn't work, man. I failed miserably. But thanks be to God, amen. He knows exactly how to pray for me. He knows exactly how to put it in me. He knows exactly how to give me the very tool I need to beat that thing. Notice our promise. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Now think about this. What has been the context of this Romans 8? It's the battle with the flesh. Shall tribulation? Some folks are afraid they're going to go through the tribulation. No, you're going to have tribulation with that flesh. Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, through him, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no separation.
Would you realize that with me this morning?
The preacher said it. I mean, you're eternal. You're everlasting the day you were born. If you're saved, you're eternal. Amen. Listen, if you're everlasting in here this morning, you've been born, but you've never been born again. There's hope. There's hope. Why don't you submit yourself to God for the matter concerning salvation in your soul? Lord, and admit who you are. Honestly, from your soul, from your heart, man, pour it out to God. I'm lost. I'm undone. I'm wicked. I'm ungodly. Amen. Whatever it is, amen, God put it in your heart. God will tell you, amen, from inside, from your conscience. And just admit it to God. And tell God what it is. He's the only one can forgive you. People go and talk to a man. Amen. Doesn't work. You got to talk to God. You got to tell him the problem is your sin and you need help. You need to be saved. Amen. Then he said this. Nor any other creature. You hear this morning saved and man, the battle just seems to be raging with that flesh. So I preach, I don't even notice the battle. Then are you attempting anything for God? Are you trying? Because there's going to be a battle.
Yes, sir.
Even if it's so your flesh can deceive you, there's going to be a battle. Amen. You fighting the battle this morning and trying to, oh man, preacher, it's only one place to get an answer. And that's from God. Submit. 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 Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Submission. The key is in submission to Christ. Any problem, you got, amen, you lost? Submit to the salvation Jesus Christ offers. You saved, struggling, submit to strength and the victory that's found in Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Amen. Father, best I know how I did what you told me to do this morning. And Lord God, I just don't even know what else to say except help, Lord. God, I know there's some folks here, God, just like me, struggling. Lord, the flesh raises up. God, help us to live that crucified life, not just quote the verses. Help us, God, to live it. Help it to be a reality to us. And Lord God, Lord, we long for that victory that'll be eternal. But till then, just help us down here to get some, Lord, so we can realize, God, the victory's in Jesus Christ. Father, long to live for you, long to live with you. Lord, till the day you take us home, help us be found faithful. We thank you for it. God, if there's one here this morning who's lost, undone, without God, without hope, Lord, looking at their battle, saying, I don't see any way out, God, this morning, help them to see that the answer is found in submission to Christ. Bless, Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Pastor Haynes, you're making your way up there, I hope. Number one. We have somebody here, and you yourself know that you've never been born again. You come and you talk to me, talk to Brother Taylor, talk to Pastor Payne. We'll be glad to talk to you. I've had two altar calls in 9 years of ministry. Most of the effective work that's been done, people come up to me privately and talk to me afterwards. You know my door is always open. I'm hoping, just as happened today, the Spirit of God will meet with us all week. Go downstairs and meet for those of you who can stay. For the service here at 1 o'clock. That'll be preaching. God bless you, Pastor Haynes. Would you go ahead and close the service?
Page 385, if you will, in your songbook. Is this, you make the determination.